Matthew chapter number 14, if you would, in your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter number 14. As I announced in before Sunday school this morning, it's a pleasure to have a dear friend of mine, Anthony Pritchett, with us here today. Anthony and I got to work on staff together up in Petoskey, Michigan. He was the Christian school administrator up there at the school and taught in school. We left all the math problems to him and things like that. He was the school teacher there, but it's been a blessing, you know, when you get to work with somebody. But we were even closer than that. He actually lived with us, and so he got to see the ins and outs of our family and all. So you're not allowed to talk to him about anything that happens at our home. No, I'm just kidding. But it's good to have Anthony with us. He'll be here till Tuesday, so make sure you make him feel welcome today. And then it's good to have Miss Frieda Britton with us today. Seeing her here and her daughter, what a blessing that is to have them with us. Matthew chapter number 14, I was praying about what God wanted me to preach this week, and you know, the devil's really fighting. The devil's really trying to hurt people now. And the closer it comes to the Lord's return, he's not going to let up any. And so we need to try to be prepared for him. And just pray for our church. Pray for God's continued blessing and strength on our church. And pray for wisdom and things. Pray for each other. We need to lift each other up in prayer, asking God to please help our church folks. And I'm asking you to pray for Miss Carol again as well. Just no change in her medical condition right now, so if you would just continue to pray for her. But the devil's fighting. He's trying to do some things, and we're going to talk about a few things here this morning that we face all the time. And so Matthew chapter 14, if you would, starting in verse number 20 of Matthew chapter 14. If you're able to stand with me, I would invite you to stand with me as we read God's word. If you're not able to, that's fine. But Matthew chapter number 14. We'll start in verse number 20. The Bible says, "And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, other than Jesus, Peter still holds a world record for walking on water, by the way. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, listen, I like that, when we cry out to the Lord, he doesn't say, no, grovel around in your sin for a while. When we come with a repentant heart, and we come with a heart asking him for forgiveness, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought him unto all that were diseased, and he besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I'm going to preach to you a message I've entitled this morning, The Safe Haven of Life. The Safe Haven of Life. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for this time that we can be in your house today. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I love this passage. I love this story. And Lord, as we get into it, I pray that you'll show us some truths from your word. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the privilege and honor we have to be here today and that you still speak to us. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that you'll change our hearts as we come in here today. And Lord, if there's anyone struggling with things and struggling with what to do, I pray that we'll just come to you and just want to even just get close enough to touch the hem of your garment. Lord, I just thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. If there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray they'll trust you today. If there's anyone here struggling with some sin in their life, I pray that we'll get that right before you today. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just continue to bind Satan and the devils of hell from the folks of our church. Lord, we know the devil fights with me fears, and we know we're in a battle. I just pray that you'll help us to stand firm and to continue to go on for you. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As we read Matthew chapter 14, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's a time where we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and that's what we call it. But it's actually more than that, because it said there was 5,000 men and women and children. So if we just say these men had wives and different things like that, you're looking upwards to 10,000 people that were fed, and a miracle was just done, and there was even leftovers at the end. I'm glad there's blessings that Jesus gives, and there's so much overwhelming that we're not even able to handle them. He even says that if we give faithfully and we do the things God tells us to do, he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you're unable to receive. And you know what? He does that on a regular basis to us. But in this passage, I want to focus more on the after that feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had been thronged by multitudes, and he just did this wonderful miracle, and everybody got to see this thing happen. And he tells the guy, the disciples, I want you to get into the ship, and I want you to go on the other side. He says, I'll meet you there. He said, I need some time alone to pray. And while he's there, it says the wind came, and it was contrary. And a storm came. And I think about this time when storms come in our life, and we have to face different situations, and the devil seems to throw curveballs in our life that we don't seem like we can hit them. And we just stand up there, and it seems like we're trying to, we strike out all the time because we just keep swinging and swinging. And I used to play baseball, and I remember when I first started playing, Brother Shane, I was scared of the ball. You know, I'd get up there, and when they'd pitch, I'd close my eyes and can't hit anything with your eyes closed. You know, you may get lucky every once in a while and swing and connect with something, but I'd stand there. I was worried about getting hit by the ball. You know, I was worried that it would hurt. And then one time I got hit by the ball, and I thought, that didn't hurt that bad. So then I started getting a little more brave, and I'd stand up a little closer, and the ball would come, and I'd think, well, if it hits me, it's not going to hurt as bad. And then I got playing junior league baseball, and they threw the ball a little harder, and that hurt a little worse. And I started going to batting cages and practicing hitting the ball. Then I got to the place where I wasn't afraid anymore, and I'd get in there, and I'd learn how to hit curveballs and learn how to hit all these things. And it was a growth process that took place. But these disciples, a lot of them were fishermen. They were used to the water. They were used to what would happen when you're out on the boat fishing. A lot of times the waves would come and the boat would rock back and forth. And so they're used to this kind of stuff. But this said that the winds were contrary and the waves were crashing pretty high. And I can imagine there was a little bit of fear inside their hearts. There was a little bit of wonder what's going to happen. We're out here in the middle of the sea in a storm. They had just seen Jesus do some wonderful miracles, but they thought, you know, Jesus isn't here right now. He's over there praying and we're in the middle of a storm. And a lot of times that's what we think. We think, well, a storm's coming, the storm's here, and we're all by ourselves. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Jesus knew exactly where they were. He had told them where to go. He had told them to get in the ship and go. Jesus knew exactly where they were at that point in time. I want you to see, firstly, the severity of the storm. The severity of the storm. As we read about this storm coming into the water and these disciples being on the ship tossed back and forth. How many of you ever been seasick? You've been on a boat, been seasick before? You know, I got to go salmon fishing one time in Lake Michigan, and we were out there fishing, and the boat was rocking back and forth a little bit, and I noticed I was not feeling very well. And something wasn't going to be good if I didn't get some help in a hurry. Okay, and I was getting seasick. And I could just imagine these guys on this boat. They didn't have Dramamine at that time and things like that, you know. And it was being tossed back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're probably a little nervous with the waves start crashing onto that boat and maybe some of the water starts flowing over the top. And they're sitting here thinking, man, this storm's a little nerve-wracking. This storm, I don't know what the outcome's going to be. And a lot of times when we get that way in our life and we have the storms that come in our hearts and in our minds, we're frightened by the storm. We don't know which direction to go. A lot of times we sit there and we think, oh no, look at this storm all around me. And though the storm is very great and the storm was coming along on their ship, and I can imagine them thinking, if Jesus was only here, but he's not. He's over there praying. And I know these disciples, you know, they're always the super spiritual guys, right? The disciples are the ones that, you know, deny Jesus and all that stuff after they followed him for so long. And we laugh about them, but that's what we do all the time. We've seen Jesus work so many miracles. We've seen him basically feed the 5,000, not literally with five loaves and two fishes, but the blessings of God that he's bestowed upon our lives. We've seen God do some wonderful things, but when the storms come, we get tunnel vision. And we begin just to focus on the circumstance. And we just begin to focus on the situation. And storms will rise, and storms of disease and illness and persecution and bitterness and pride and selfishness and peer pressure and drugs and alcohol and adultery and fornication and divorce and on and on and on and on and on. We could go about these storms that come. But all of these are spiritual storms that we face in our life. And we face them because a lot of times the devil doesn't he doesn't want us to be active in the work of the Lord. He fights whom he fears, and he stirs the waters of those that are trying to interrupt what he's doing. And you know why I'm encouraged about Tabernacle Baptist Church and some of the storms that are coming in our lives right now? Because we're fighting against the devil. And the devil's trying to make the waters rough so that we'll stop trying to fight him. Well, let me encourage you, let's not stop fighting him. Let's just keep going on and keep going on and keep going on through the storm. But these kind of storms are very hard to face on your own. That's why we must unite together as a church to help each other overcome. We're supposed to edify one another. You know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, when we come to church here, we come to church to help each other, to strengthen each other, to hear from the Word of God, and get the help that we need to weather these storms in our life. But we get tunnel vision a lot of times, and we begin to look at the situation around us. And we'll get to that later on here in Peter's life, and you probably know the direction I'm going with that. But we get tunnel vision as we begin to look at this, and there's strength in the storm. And I'm not belittling these storms, because there's strength in the storms that come. If a hurricane came through here, none of us would want to be standing out there in the front yard saying, let me see if I can weather this thing by myself standing here in the middle of the yard. No, what happens when a tropical storm comes or a hurricane comes? What do? They evacuate the town. You know why? Because they're trying to keep you safe. They're trying to help you, because you're not any match for that storm on your own. You can't stand out there and say, I'm going to stop the wind. We can't do that. We're not capable of it. And the storms of life that come in our life, we're not capable of stopping them on our own. Every one of us, no matter how, I had a teenager ask me one time, why do bad things happen to good people? And that's a good question. But the fact of the matter is, bad things happen to all people. Not just good people, all people. You know why? Because of sin. Bad things happen. Because at one point in our life, back a long time ago, in the Garden of Eden, man sinned against God. And because of one man's sin, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And because from that day on, there's been heartache, and there's been trials, and there's been storms that have come in our life. And there's severity in the storm. But I want you to see, secondly, through this passage that we're reading, it said they were in a ship. Now listen, I believe that they felt a little bit more secure in the storm being in the boat than floating in the water. You know, because they were in the boat, they had a little bit of protection from the waves that came. Because they were in the boat, they had a little bit of shelter, as you would find, from the storm. And I'd like to picture this ship as the church coming to the house of God. And we come to the church, and I think a lot of times when the storms come, we come running to the church because we think this is where we find our safety. We think we find our safety in the building. That's not where we find the safety. But a lot of times we come running, and I can see these disciples in the ship, and they're Brother Daniel, they're I can see them sitting there, and as the winds are waiting, they're grabbing a hold of the side, and they're hanging on a little bit while the boat's rocking, and they're thinking, you know what, if I can just keep a hold of the ship, I'll be all right. If I can just hang on a little longer, I'll be all right. Maybe the winds will stop. If I can just grab a hold, maybe if I can go down in the bow of the ship, if I can go down underneath and get out of the weather, I'll be just fine. And a lot of people, they'll come to RU, Brother Doug, because they think just being in this building is going to keep them safe from the storms that happen in their life. A lot of people, Brother Shane, will come in the back door of the church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night because they think just being in this building is going to protect them from everything that's going on. Well, guess what this room is full of? Sinners. People. It's full of heartache. It's full of hurt. It's full of things that we can come running here and we can try to help build each other up, and we should. We should try to encourage one another to stay going on. But just because you come in this church building does not mean you're safe from the storms that happen in life. And here they were in the ship. Brother Caleb, they're hiding in this ship, and I can see them in this boat. They did what God told them to do. They said, God, I come to church like you told me to. These disciples, I'm in the boat. Jesus told me to be here. And look, the storms are still coming. And if they were like most of us are, they'd start blaming God because the storm's there. And here, God put me in this place. I'm in a ship. Brother Doug, now a storm's here. I thought God loved me. I thought God was here to protect me. Brother Pritchett, you know, I think about this storm and these disciples, and they're in the ship, and I know they're just like we are. They're people. They think this kind of stuff. I can imagine thinking, where's God at now? Where's Jesus at now? He's over there praying, and we're out here in the middle of this heartache and trial and in this storm, and we could even die in this storm, and where's he at? Where's he at? And we come to church a lot of times with a messed up idea of what this building's all about. You understand this building could burn down tomorrow, and we still have Tabernacle Baptist Church. Because the church is not made of a building. It's made of a body of believers. That's what makes up the church of God. As long as there's people doing the work of God that are children of God, going on for the cause of Christ, the church of God is going to stand forever. It doesn't matter what building we're in. Anything man-made is going to perish. Have you ever seen a building that's real old? Like an old barn. I like to see old barns, that antique wood and different things like that. But if they're not upkept, what happens to them, Brother Jeff? They rot away. But man built it. They still rot away. Because anything man made is going to fall. Anything made by man is going to decay. Anything made by man isn't going to last forever. But anything that is made by God is going to last forever. And anything that God had, guess what? We're going to last forever. Why? Because God created us. We're going to live forever in one of two places. Everybody in this room has an eternal soul. And that eternal soul is either going to live forever or going to spend forever in eternal death and hell and the lake of fire. And guess what? Being in a church house isn't going to save you from that. Being in the ship, the security of the ship, isn't going to save us from that. And there's strength in the storms of life. And there is security a little bit in the ship. You can come in here and try to find the help that you need. It's a good place to come when storms come in your life. But this isn't what's going to save you. You know, Brother Jim, just being in church today is not going to save you from hell. It's not going to save you. If you're in this room, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still as lost as you were when you came in the door. Because it's not being in this building that finds safety. And just being in the ship didn't make them secure from the storm. Because all it took is one time for a wave to hit that boat against a rock and cause a leak. And then the boat was going to sink. And Tabernacle Baptist Church is going to sink if we try to just do it ourselves. We try to rely on ourselves. We try to rely on our own good works and our own deeds and the things that we try to do. And we try to rely on that, Brother Travis, we're going to sink. And then it says Jesus came walking on the water. That would scare anybody. Okay? Being in a boat, storms are crashing all around you. And here you see somebody walking on the water. And they said, it's a spirit. And they got even more scared. And he said, be not afraid. He said, it is I. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. I can see Peter, you know, Peter, I like Peter. A lot of people say that Peter just, you know, he's one of them disciples that just always sticks his foot in his mouth. But he's the only one who walked on water. He's the only one who had enough faith in God to step out of the boat and go on the to walk to Jesus. But I like to see him, and I can just imagine what it was like in the storm, Brother Daniel, boats waving back and forth like this, and he tries to climb over the side and get out. Everybody probably thought, he's nuts. That guy's crazy. I'm not letting go of the side. I'm hanging on tight. And here he is climbing out. But he knew where true safety came from. It wasn't in the ship where everybody else was. It wasn't in that man-made vessel that was going to keep them safe from the storm. It was the one who was walking on the water that was going to keep him safe from the storm. And he knew as long as he said to come, and if I put my faith in him and I come like he said I'm going to, he's going to keep me safe. And even though there's strength in the storm today, and even though there's security in the ship, there's safety in the Savior. The only place that we can find true shelter from the storm is in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. The only way that you can try find true safety from hell today is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And he said, you know what? Come unto me. Come unto me. What he's saying is, I'm not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to come to him today. He wants you to trust him as your Savior. He wants you to come to him, and he wants you to rely on him. And he paid everything for you. He made the way for you to come. Even through the storms of sin in your life, he still says, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. He didn't say, come to the church house and the preacher's going to fix all your problems, because I can't. He didn't say, hey, go to a psychiatrist and pay him thousands of dollars and he'll fix all your problems. He didn't say that. Nowhere do I ever read that he says all the problems are ever going to go away. I don't read that anywhere either. And we think that just coming to church, well, we ain't going to have no problems anymore. That's not Bible. There's still going to be problems. There's still going to be heartaches. The Christian life isn't always smooth sailing. It's not always, oh, I'm going to be able to go through this water in a paddle boat because everything's going to be fine. No, sometimes you're in a big vessel and it's still rocking back and forth and you don't know if you're going to make it. And I can see these disciples probably thinking that sometime. I don't even know if we're going to make it through. I don't even know where's Jesus at right now. But Jesus knew exactly where they are. And guess what? He knows exactly where you are today. He knows exactly what you're going through. You say, how could he ever know that? First off, he's God. He knows everything. But if you read the book of Isaiah, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. What he's saying is, I'm the only safety that you're ever going to have. Every person that's in this room, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, in as much love as I can tell you, you're going to die and go to hell forever. There is no in between. You can't stand before God one day and tell him all the good works that you've done and hope that gets you into heaven. You're not going to be able to say, but I gave this much money in the offering plate. You're not going to be able to say, well, I held doors for all the ladies that came in and out, and I was polite and a gentleman, and I did all this stuff. And he's going to say, your righteousnesses are filthy rags unto the Lord. They're storms because of sin. And the only safety we'll ever find because of that sin is in Jesus Christ. And he wants you to fellowship with him. He wants you to come, but you got to get into his family. I'm glad that I'm adopted into the family of God. And you know what's significant about that, about the adoption process? You know what I can do, Brother Doug, with my kids? My kids that were born of my wife and I can disown them. You know, that I could sign a paper, say, they're not my kin, I don't want anything to do with them, I can disown them. But you know what the law says about adoption? If you've adopted a kid, you can never exclude them from your will. So if I'm adopted in the family of God, Brother Daniel, guess what? I can't ever be erased. I can't ever be disowned. I can't ever not be his child. Why? Because I've been adopted into his family. I'm glad for that. I'm excited that I was adopted into the family of God, and you ought to be as well. There's safety from hell in Jesus. And he says, listen, I've paid it. It's here. All you've got to do is accept it. And if you'll accept it, the Bible says your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what? He's got that whole list of his family. That whole list of all those that he's adopted. And when you stand before him one day, He's going to turn to that section and he's going to look and say, Silas Burrows, is your name in the book? And he's going to look. And if it's not there, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And that's significant too. I hear people say sometimes you can lose your salvation. Well, if you could lose your salvation, then the Bible says that God is a liar. Because how long is eternal life? Forever. And God said that those that stand before him whose names are not found in the book of the Lamb's book of life are going to be cast into hell fire. And he's going to say this, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. If you could lose your salvation, friend, God couldn't say that and still be God. He couldn't say, I never knew you. He would have to say, I knew you at one time, but you lost it. He would have to say, there was a time that you were my child, but you're not anymore. But no, he said, I never, never knew you. You're either in or you're out. You're either in the family of God or you're not in the family of God. There is no in between. And that's what salvation is. It's being adopted in the family of God. You're one of his children and you can never be disowned. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that something how that adoption process works? Because you know what? When we were signed and sealed and adopted, he said, you're sealed until the day of redemption. I'm glad there's a day he's going to come back and we're going to be redeemed, caught up together with him in the clouds to live with him forever. Praise the Lord for that. But there's safety in the Savior. And I like to picture Peter walking on the water. And as he's walking on the water, he had his focus on the one who could save him and keep him safe. Brother Thomas, he had his eyes fixed on the only one that could keep him afloat. The only one that could keep the storms off of him. And then my mind goes back to Job. And when Job, it said he was a perfect and an upright man. He lived for God, and it said the sons of God came before him, and Lucifer was there, and God says, hast thou considered my servant Job, for there's none like him in all the earth. He said, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And the devil says, yeah, I know Job. I know who he is, but you know what's good about this whole thing? What it shows is a picture of stewardship, that God owns everything. He tells Satan at that time, he tells him, listen, he says, I know Job. I've been trying to get at him, but you build a hedge about him and I can't get to him. And he said, if you'll remove that hedge, God, he'll curse you to your face. And God says, all that he hath is in thy power. You know why God could command that? Because it all belonged to God. It was all his. Everything we have doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. That's a good picture of stewardship, is that everything you have isn't yours anyway. Parents, guess what? Your kids aren't yours. They're God's. Your house isn't yours, it's God's. Your car isn't yours, it's God's. Everything we have belongs to him, therefore we ought to use it for him. We ought to use it for him. But I can see Peter walking on the water, looking at Jesus. And I bet you he was as sure-footed, Brother Thomas, as I am standing right now, as long as he kept his eyes focused on him. And he began to walk, and he began to walk, and he began to walk. And I don't believe he was even unstable. Oh, well, a wave's coming. I got to step over it. I believe he's just walking, looking at him, looking at him. But then the storm was pretty tough, and it's blowing around him. And a lot of times we're good for a while. We're doing good for a while. And the storms keep coming, and the storms keep coming, and the storms keep coming. And Brother Coggins, we're focused, and we're doing good, and we're walking, and we're walking, and we're walking. And the storms keep beating, and the storms keep beating, and the storms keep beating. And all of a sudden we go, and we look around, and that's when we sink. Because we're focusing on the situation. We're focusing on the circumstance. We're focusing on the power and the strength of the storm. And we say, if I can just get to the church house, I'll be all right. Nope, we have to focus on Jesus. And when Peter began to sink, it said he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And it said, and immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and picked him up and brought him back to the ship. And it said, and the wind ceased. You know what I like to picture? Jesus walking on the water, and when Peter's walking to him, when he begins to sink, here's a picture of it. We're drowning in our sin, folks. And all he says is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. Not might be. Not if you've given enough in the offering plate. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it said when he began to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately. That's what happens with salvation. It's not, well, this is a trial basis. You're adopted in my family for trial. And as long as you behave properly, you can stay in the family. It's not how it works. We cry out, Lord, save me. And immediately, he picks us up. And the neat thing about it is, he brought him back to the ship. That meant Jesus was with him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us all the time. When the storms are around, the reason we don't see Jesus is because we're not looking at him. We're focused on the situation. We're focused on the circumstance. You say, well, you don't understand. Listen, I got to go see Miss Carol yesterday. I can't imagine what's going through her mind. I really can't. You know what? She can blink at you and tell you yes or no with her eyes. And in her mind, she's coherent. She understands what you're saying. And she's in a storm right now. And if she's like us, a lot of times, we'd just be saying, God, I thought you loved me. I thought you were here to protect me. Why am I going through this? Listen, Jesus knew when they got in that boat that a storm was coming. He knew a storm was coming. And why when Peter sunk and he brought him back, he said this to him, O ye of little faith. They just saw him feed 5,000 men and their families with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And there was 14 baskets left over. Why would they doubt him? We do it all the time. We see God bless. We see God do things. We see his hand at work. And then we focus on the circumstances rather than him. And we sink. And there's strength in those storms that come. And we think if we just get to this building, we'll be all right. That's not where true safety comes from. That's not the safe haven of life, isn't this building. I thank God for this place. I'm glad it's here. But there's only safety in Jesus. That's the only place you can find safety. Only place you can find safety from hell, but it's the only place you can find safety from the storm, from the heartache. Why can we have joy through bad circumstances? Why can people whose bodies are riddled with cancer just be rejoicing in the Lord? You know why? Because they know where safety comes from, and they're focused on him. Why can people who've gone through such hard times in their life still have joy, unspeakable and full of glory? Why? Because there's new grace. That song that was sang this morning, there's new grace in Jesus. Are you going through a storm today? Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't leave here today without knowing him. Because as soon as you walk out that door, the devil's going to, he's going to try to get you. He's going to try to get you. And this may be the last opportunity that you ever have to accept him as your Savior. Because when you die, it's too late. You don't have another day. And he's going to have to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And you're going to spend eternity in hell and then be cast in the lake of fire forever. That's real life. It's not a fairy tale. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven. You found safety from hell, but that doesn't mean there's no storms. But when the storms come, just stay focused on the one who controls the storm. As soon as Peter cried out, and it said immediately he reached forth his hand, once he walked back with him, it said the wind ceased. The storm was gone. Why? Because the one who controlled the storm was there. Just trust in him. There's so many things going on that we could spend hours and hours and hours and hours talking about the storms that are taking place in our church today. The heartache, the sickness, just the problems that the devil's doing, that he's bringing in. And a lot of times we see our church folks just falling by the wayside because the storm's too much for them to handle, and it's too much for any of us to handle. It's too much for your preacher to handle if I try to handle it by myself. But there's not a storm that's bigger than my God. There's not one storm out there that's bigger than God. And throughout the Bible, you hear at times when storms have come and Jesus speaks, it said the winds and the waves obey him. The storm listens when Jesus talks, because he's the captain of the wind. He's in control of it all. And listen, when the storms of life come, don't think that this is the only place you can come. You ought to be here. Because why? This place is the place where we point you to the one that you can find safety in. Maybe you're going through some storms today. You know you can find safety in Jesus. He's your help today. He's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that can fix your family. He's the only one that can fix your finances. He's the only one that can get you out of the problem that you're in, is him. Just run to him today. And cry out to him, Lord, save me. And watch what Jesus can do.